Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day!
Listening to the Funny Mummies, another episode with me, your host Hattie Ashdown, and of course my co-host Gemma Beadley.
Hello.
The one who shall not be photographed. I want to put it on here as well as in the comments because I've not yet had anyone, but I imagine people going, why haven't you got her in the photographs?
I'm an enigma.
You want to be an enigma.
An anonymous enigma.
And basically be like the cool, silent one.
Yeah, I want to be like the Simon Fuller, but without the bullying, exploitative aspect of him.
So you say. So, joining us today, we've got a guest. Yeah, it's not just us. She's an award-winning comedian, squirrel impersonator, and parent.
That's a really good impersonation.
She's
looking at me confused, but it will all come back in a minute. You may remember her pregnant on Live at the Apollo. Yeah, you would have seen her on all the panel shows. She's especially good at that one that's, it's like charades with Sarah Pascoe. Guessable, I think it's called, isn't it? She's done over 5 Edinburgh shows and was recently on Mastermind. And so let's find out what this guest is master at. She's also mother of one, Flavour of Girl. It's Harriet Kemsley.
Hello, what an introduction.
I think that might be one of my weirdest ones.
Yeah. Not all of it was true, and that was why I really appreciated. Yeah. I've never had an introduction where I haven't known a lot of what's being said about me. So, yeah, I appreciate that.
I was like, I'm going to just throw it about a bit today.
Yeah.
And guess which thing is not true. But didn't you do a squirrel impersonation on that Guessable? Or maybe I got it wrong.
It was a clip that
was going around and it was so, I couldn't stop watching it.
Funny. When I rolled on the ground. Yeah, maybe. And then, that was just a tiny moment of my life. I think that's why I was confused. It was built up as one of the
100% of Harriet Kemsley content. Other people. You know, the squirrel girl. Was it a squirrel?
But it was awful, squirrel person.
Yeah, this is the thing. Yeah. I'm very bad at it. Yeah, so maybe I didn't even know that.
What would you do for a squirrel impersonation?
Izzard does a remarkable squirrel impersonation.
Oh, yeah. So welcome to the Funny Mummies. At last, we've got you, because we've been trying to get you on the show for a while, haven't we?
I know, I'm excited. It's happening.
So before we get on to why you wanted to talk about, because we like to ask our guests anything that might be annoying them or making them happy. Strangely, Gemma, it's never something that's making them happy, is it really?
Who wants to tune in to listen to someone talk about how wonderful their life is?
And you wanted to talk about trusting others with your baby. And I thought, oh, that's a good one. So I thought, just to warm us up, quick quiz about... it's a bit like snog, marry, avoid, but think of childcare. Right, out of Mary Poppins, Mrs. Doubtfire and Super Nanny, who would you leave your kid with at short notice?
Snog, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay, we're confused by the game.
Okay, right.
You snogger, then you hand over the baby.
Yeah.
Who would you get to pick up from nursery? As in, they've never met this person before.
Yeah.
But they go, oh, here, so-and-so to pick you up.
Probably Mrs. Doubtfire. I think she has the most Bobby energy.
Oh, that's true.
So I think Mabel would just be like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, daddy's here.
Yeah, daddy's here in a dress. Yeah. That'd be it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And who would you have as a permanent live-in nanny?
Mary Poppins, Mary I think. Poppins. I need her in my life to help, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoonful of sugar.
Yeah.
And this is the next one. Who would you mind Bobby getting off with?
Or three. Yeah, go for it, Bobby. Have a great time.
There's always that, isn't there, that they might get offered
actually,
the
if
nanny.
It's all three having some kind of orgy, then that's kind of worse for everyone, I think. I think that is an image no one wants to imagine.
I can't imagine Mary Poppins...
Going for Bobby.
No, having an orgy.
Right. Yeah.
Super nanny. Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's
up for it. Yeah.
Buxom. She'd definitely be up for it.
I mean, she's... It's funny how that was all the fashion for a while, wasn't it? Well, super nanny knows how to... And I feel like her ways have sort of crept... I might be wrong. Have crept away a bit. I mean, you don't hear about her. And I wonder whether now some of her sort of teachings would be seen as a bit... strict. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Well, it was her that introduced the naughty step, right?
Yeah, which...
That made it, you know, it was kind of made it quite the thing.
And now you're not really meant to say naughty step. This is a whole, like, gentle parenting type thing. It's all meant to be, like, time out step or even some... One thing I was finding was time in. Oh, God.
What's time in?
I don't know.
They come and you go out. That sounds like a great idea. Joe Frost, Super Nanny, used to do that. If a kid was having a meltdown, she would lock them in the bedroom and she'd be holding the handle, you know, so they couldn't get out until they'd calmed down. Yeah, she'd be like, I'm not opening this door until you calm down. And you know what? She'd be, and she has got some staying power, that woman.
She'd
be there for hours.
Like, I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's easy when it's someone else's kid, maybe, to lock them in a room.
Yes.
You know?
When I think of her, I think about it was that resilience of like going, taking them back all the time. Whether it was whether it was going on the naughty step, whether it was staying in bed, her thing was like, if they've moved away, she would don't talk to them, don't look at them in the eye, and just keep taking them back. And we did do a little bit of that, but
well, you won as well the book that I threw
in the bin. Ford.
Yeah.
Did you ever come across Gina Ford?
No, I have heard about it, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think all of this is quite similar to how you're meant to train a dog. I think it.
Because you've got a dog as well. I should have said that in your intro, sorry.
Thank you. Yeah. No, you prioritise the important stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I think with the cry it out thing, we did that a tiny bit. Like, I didn't want to do it. And then she was waking up every hour. And then she couldn't teach herself to go back to sleep. And then...
How old are we talking?
I think like maybe 9 months or something. And then Bobby was like, I'm going to do it. And the first time she cried for like...
Oh my God.
Half an hour, and I was like sobbing as well. And it was awful. And the second time it was like 10 minutes. And the third time it was like 2 minutes. And then now she sleeps through the night. And I think the waking up every hour, I mean, touch wood. I mean, it depends on the night. But mainly she can put herself back to sleep. And it was a skill that... she didn't have, and it had become a habit, I think, waking up every hour. And
yes, so you had to
try and break the habit.
Break the habit.
Was good, but it is horrible when they're upset. But also, I think she would be upset and she'd cry, and then she'd just kind of stop crying, then she'd go, she'd literally watch her in the monitor, she'd go like, mwah. She'd shrug her shoulders and she'd lie down and go to sleep.
Yeah,
so it was like, she tried it, and then she's like, nah, fuck this, I'm going to go to sleep.
No one's coming.
So, yeah, I'll just sleep.
Oh, I hate that, no one's coming.
Yeah.
You can't bear it.
No, I always did think that. And then my friend was like, when you're driving and they're in the back, they cry. It's the same thing. They want attention. And then when you don't give them attention, they go to sleep. Like, it's not that they necessarily think that they're abandoned, alone. I think, or that they're alone.
Gosh.
I know, it is horrible. Yeah. And if I think about it too much, it's awful. But then I was like, if I don't sleep and she doesn't sleep and we're up every hour, then we're going
to
all be miserable.
She wants to sleep.
Yeah, that was it. And she wants
Needs
to, and now she can.
You know, there's all these different methods, isn't there? The kind of like having them on you all the time so that, you know, a lot of people would do that sort of co-sleeping so that the minute they cried... you're there to soothe. And great if that works for you, but I just think that sort of goes back to cave times for me, when women would have the baby strapped to them all the time while they're doing all their different work. I don't know.
Yeah.
But when we don't live in those times, we've got cars and they're sat in the back of the cars and we need to sleep as well.
I co-slept, and it was just because I just couldn't be doing with the lack of sleeping. But it took a long time to get out of my bed. A long time. And I knew at the time, you know, I was just like, I'm going to rue the day. But, you know, he's now eight and it's, you know, he hasn't
teen and he's still in your bed.
Exactly. It's fine, you've got a big bed. But I was going to say about the strapping. When I spent some time in Tanzania, and so kids would be born and, yep, they would be, you know, they would be carried in a sling all day by the mothers. You would not hear a baby cry unless they were sick.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't cry. And then I think by the time they're two, they kind of have this confidence. And so, you know, they're not clingy. They're just like, right, okay. And that's just how children are raised. But then they're also raised by villages of women. So it's a little bit...
It takes a village.
It takes a large...
It does. Trusting others with your baby. Has anything happened recently, Harriet, or is this just a general thing you've always had since she was born?
It's like, so quite early on we had to get childcare because I went back to work quite quickly. And to be honest, it's been really good. Like the first babysitter we ever got, like... She was like training to be a human rights lawyer. Like we used this app Bubble and you could see that they'd had like hundreds of sits with like 5-star ratings. But I'm trying to live a bit, little bit like a dad, like to parent like a mum, I think, but then be like, I want to live a life and do things like a dad and try and not feel guilty, have this like mum guilt that everyone talks about. And because that's...
It's banned on this show. We don't say that word.
That's good because I think, I don't know, like I keep thinking like, how would I want her to grow up? And like, I would want her to grow up doing things. And like, if she has a kid, I'll look after her kid so that she's inspired to go and do things. Yeah. I don't want her to feel that she can't do stuff. But then with that, you have to trust other people. And then that is really horrible. And like, sometimes it's easier like trusting my mom or something because my mom like... raised three kids, and then with Bobby it can feel like really scary even though sometimes he will know more than me. It's just hard. Like, you just feel like you know, like because they came from you feel you know, even though that's not necessarily the case.
I've never thought about that, about that, you know, mum knows best, but actually is it because they came from you that you just no, I know what's best for them and I can kind of
you
intrinsically
maybe have a connection
or
from the beginning.
You're listening to the Funny Mummy Podcast.
Yay!
Now can I go back?
Yeah. So at the moment, what's your support network, as they say? So obviously you both gig and you used to take her with you sometimes, didn't you?
So when she was which in hindsight was mad, but like when she was like a month old, we'd take her to like comedy clubs and like one of us would open and one of us would close. And like, I think I was just so
she'd
worried.
She'd do the middle spot.
She'd do the middle spot. She'd do type 10 in the middle. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Come on.
I think I was so worried about going back to work afterwards and that I wouldn't want to and that I would feel like, and the longer I'd be out of it, the harder it would be to go back. And so I was like, and also you've got to make money, you know, like you're freelance and you've got to go back to work. And so I was like, the sooner I do it, the better. And we're really lucky, like it's my job, I can pick and choose, you know, like it's really lucky. It's not having to spend hours away. Like I can bring her, I can go for a couple of hours. Like that's a really privileged position. And so I tried to use it, but it was a bit insane. We'd bring her like into Soho and like one night Bobby like took her for a walk in like the middle of the night around Soho, and like I think people thought he'd stolen a baby. I don't know if I'd recommend
it. But if you Google our husband Bobby Mair, you will know what she means as nice as possible.
And so it was a bit wild, but it was like so that was a really good thing. And then we started to use babysitters, and now she goes to nursery 3 days a week. And like, but it's just, I don't know, you just every time you just like have a moment where you just like feel sick, and it's just really hard. And I keep doing it, you know, like I'm doing it like maybe more than others in a way, but it's just really hard not to feel sick about it.
Because I remember in my NCT, there'd be various of people. There would be the people that were straight back to work, or some that would like not left their baby for 2 years or whatever. Gemma, what was it? Did you have any problems leaving Al?
In the beginning I didn't actually, and you know, I spoke about the childminder that I had. She was just fantastic. She was brilliant. And so
five months.
I think he was 5 months when I went back to work, because I just hated being the mother of a baby. I just couldn't bear
full-time.
It
full time.
Yeah, it's too much. Having the in-between is really good.
So I never had a problem leaving leaving him with her, but he was not a confident kid.
Right.
You know, so I'll say he would not be left, but he would scream, he would absolutely scream like he's being snatched if leaving him with babysitters and all this stuff. And I didn't persist very well because I can't bear the crying. My heart is like, we're tuned though,
but we are tuned to, you know, respond to that cry.
Yeah, but it's like, because Bobby can just be doing things and having a conversation. Oh, I'm like, she's crying. I can't do anything until we stop crying. Like, it's like an immediate thing, whereas that noise is like just lift music or something to him. Like, he's not affected. I don't know.
So for me, it was just like we didn't, and then subsequently I didn't leave him. And then now, you know, me and his dad are separated now, and you know, I still get a bit, you know, there's some problems with his dad, and so it's I do struggle to hand him over, but you know,
I think, am I fair in saying you've enjoyed him much more older than as a baby?
Oh god, yeah.
So now he's his own little person.
He is, yeah.
And you miss them.
Oh my god,
and it's
yeah,
a different
yeah.
missing than when they're a baby.
Yeah,
like you actually start
miss the person
to,
yeah
miss the person, and you enjoy their company. That sounds like a mad thing to say, but you sort of do, don't you? And
I was saying to Hattie yesterday, so my son was away for 9 nights that turned into 11 anyway, and we've never been apart that long, and I was like, oh, you know, great, I can go out and stuff, so I've got no childcare to have to arrange, but I wasn't fully there. Like, yeah, I went out every yeah. single night having dinner, stayed to watch shows and stuff, but I just, like, my heart wasn't in it because it was somewhere else. It was my, you know, I knew that Al just, I wasn't going to see Al later, you know. It's kind of pleasant in a way, yeah. like when you get heartburn, it's like a little bit of a kind of, like, enjoyed that curry. I enjoyed that curry. It's a nice warmth, but it is also painful, you know.
Going back to when there was babies, I think it maybe had something to do with the fact, you were saying about Al, my oldest, I don't know why, but he was so fine to be handed over. Yeah. So obviously that helps.
Yeah.
But I was like, people would tell me that. Oh, they go, it's a sign of confidence. It means he's very, feels very secure in you.
Yeah, yeah.
So fast forward to 7 years later, he's been diagnosed with autism and ADHD. So it probably was something, because he's just, he goes with what's going on. Okay, I'm doing this now. Do you know what I mean? And we always thought, God, he's so confident. Do you know what I mean? And, well, he still is. He's still like that. He's absolutely fine for anyone new to come round. And he's like, hi, you know. And he's like,
welcome.
Yeah. He has the best reactions, honestly. He's so cute. He's like, wow, mummy, I like your hair. Today he's like blowing me a kiss. There's a little heart sign and he goes, have the best day and all this. But you can also be a little shit, of course. But yeah, but I was fine. I think, you know, I was, and I shouldn't have to say lucky, but my husband had quite a lot of time off, so that was great when he was first born, and so he knew the routine, and like you say, like, I could stress out different things, but he was the calmer one. So I think when I did then go out, I don't remember feeling too bad. I remember sort of going away for a weekend and having to pump and all that.
Oh, yeah, it's rough. Yeah,
I went for like a spa weekend, and so you're in the hot steam room and you're like, sorry girls, I've got to go and pump, because the steam would just set off the booth. But then fast forward to Edinburgh last year, and now they're older and stuff, like, I couldn't believe stuff. I was all, they were, people were like, oh my god, you're gonna have the best time, because the plan was I'd do about 4 or 5 days on my own, then they'd come up and then they'd go back. So I said to my husband, like, come for the rest of it. But he was like, no, I think 9 days is enough for them. Like, and I was like, oh, okay. But I was thinking of him as well, like, to get more help. But, oh, my God, I missed them so much.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I haven't done Edinburgh for a long time. So you're thrown into this routine. Mm. I think it's different when, like, yeah, maybe if I'd gone away, I don't know, so fun. But Edinburgh's not fun. Well, it wasn't for me at the beginning. It got better. But I was crying on the phone to them. Mm. And like you say, when we were reunited, I felt like I was reunited with lovers.
Yeah, it does feel like when I left her at nursery for the first time and I left, I was like bereft. I was just like, I can't. Like, what? Yeah. Like, it's like
heart, it's every like the day for the rest of my
heartbreak.
Life.
Yeah, it's mad. And that, like, I feel bad because, like, Bobby is really good with her. Like, he does know, like, all the routine and, like, he is really good at, like, being supportive of, like, we both wanted to do our careers and also like live a nice life and do fun things, and he's really like, go off and do this and do that, and like he knows everything. It's just it's not him, it's me. Like, I'm the one that's just like, I know better, and it's like a false confidence that I do, because in some ways he knows better. It's like a thing that I just can't let go of, that somebody else will spot something or know what's wrong. It's that's
it. Try and let it go a little bit, hasn't she? She's gotta try and
Let it go. Yeah, I'm doing all the
when you work out how to do that, let me know.
Okay, great. Okay, so nobody knows. That's the thing. That's what we've discovered, okay?
Yeah, I must admit, medical stuff, I would... Because I'm definitely like, oh, my God, we should go to intensive care. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's banged his head or whatever. And my husband is totally like, no, they're fine. So that's why, not to give the EBGBs, when I had 3 missed calls from him and I was in Camden at a gig... I knew it had to be something bad. And he was like, just to say, everything's fine, but I have called an ambulance.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, okay. He's like, it was just when we were doing his reading, and his breath was laboured and it was getting worse and worse. Cut long story short, it was croup. But he does have slight asthma. And I thought, you know, like, I'd given him some Calpol or something before I left. And I was like, I'm sure there's something about Calpol and asthma. Like, you've got to be careful. I was like, oh, my God, it's my fault. And just being so far away. I know I wasn't as far away as you. But that journey felt like forever to come back. And luckily, the ambulance that came, when it got to our house, it broke down. So they had to wait for another one to come. But because of that, I was then home in time to travel with him.
Yeah.
And he was so happy. And he was much better. By the time I got there, he was fine. But just enjoyed a ride in the ambulance. And when we got there, they give you them steroids and then they're bouncing off the walls. And it's fine.
You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast, the mum meetup you don't have to get dressed for.
Is there anybody, what's it like with your mum and stuff? Like,
she's really good. Like, I think with her it is like, oh, she knows more than me. You know what I mean? And so like that is somebody that I really can relax with. And we have really good babysitters now. That like, it's not that anyone's not really good. Yeah. It's just me. It's just like, they're better than me. You know what I mean? Like, the babysitter's trained to be a human rights lawyer. Like, she's on it. Like, I'm not on it. I guess if I'm doing all the things and I am living a life, and like I feel so lucky to have both, but it's just a mental thing, isn't it? It's just hard to not be terrified.
Harry, so do you mainly use, so you've got your regulars now though?
Yeah, we've got some regulars. Yeah,
so
it's really good.
How many regulars
we've
have you got?
We've got like 4 regulars because we're out like...
But that's a good idea.
A lot,
then
you know.
You've always got backup.
Yeah, and so I wanted... it was a point when I was like, oh, maybe we should get someone permanent. But then because it's so frequent that we need to leave for like a few hours, that if we had a few different people that knew the routine, it felt like that would be like a safer thing.
Would you consider a live-in
au pair or nanny or whatever they call it?
No.
No? Because you want one living with you?
I just feel like it would be too awkward between the things that like when they were working and then when they weren't working, and like I wouldn't want them to feel like, I don't know, to handle it, I think. And also it's like only for like a few hours every day really that we need like.
But in your life, because you do a lot of TV and stuff as well, do you find like, because other guests we've had on here that work in TV have found that like they've had to have a nanny, particularly Holly Walsh said, because you don't know when you're going to finish.
Yeah, well, it would be so good, but I think the cost is just a bit too high for us. But I'm really lucky that like, my mum has come to things like come to like Glasgow and stuff, and my sister came once and sat in a green room with Mabel. So it's all okay. Yeah.
Didn't she? Where did you go recently? Where you flew off somewhere and there was pictures of your mum and that all on the plane? Was that just a holiday? I thought that was that a working thing?
You had a wedding. Did you have a wedding?
Did I have a wedding?
No, I'm stalking you.
have you ever been to a wedding?
I have been to a wedding, yeah. Well, that was one thing. I took Mabel for 24 hours to Santorini. which for this trip that was meant to be, my friend was getting, like, my best friend was getting married there, and it was just after Edinburgh, and I had to get back on this certain date, and then I got COVID, so then I had to delay the flight, and then it ended up I could only go for 24 hours, and Bobby was gigging in Europe, and so I had to take her to Santorini, and it was like, it was wonderful and hell at the same time. Because, we left at, like, 4 in the morning and then got back the next night at, like, 2 in the morning. And it was just wild.
But it was worth it.
It was worth it. And we did it and it was all good. And I think in hindsight, that was a bit much. I had two friends that flew with us that were on the same plane there and back. That was a bit.
And she'd been quite good on planes and stuff, has she?
Yeah, you just have to walk up and down and be like,
doesn't
like the whole time like this. She doesn't want to sit still in a seat.
Because she's, how old is she now? So she must be 1.5.
She's nearly a half, 1.5 in June.
Yeah, so she's walking.
Walking. Mm. Living her life.
Living her life.
Living her Maywell life around the place. But she's been really good. From the beginning, we were like, we'll just take her places. And then now, if we don't have to drag her somewhere and there's a way that we can have her at home, then that's much better for her, I think, really, unless we'll be away for a while.
There is a window with newborns, isn't there, where it's just like,
walking
them around Soho at 11 o'clock at night, whereas there is that kind of actually, I need them for their nap. I need them to be at home at 1 o'clock for their nap. Or
She's got a routine now. It's better for her.
That's so true. If only you know that. I guess that's when people do ever like a second one, you sort of go, okay, right, actually, newborn, this is the time to get out there.
Here's a little debate that we had in the office. I don't know if I've brought this up here before. I'm now getting to the stage where it's just like, I don't know if I've said this before.
Yeah.
Anyway, so an artist, so we got a show on and someone turns up with a newborn baby and wants
to
watch the show.
Oh, right.
And it's a bit like, is that okay or not?
This happened in Edinburgh, I think, for a comic who had a baby and the baby cried.
It was a big...
Throughout the show, it was a big thing.
Twitter
storm.
I personally think no. Or if the baby is asleep and then the baby wakes up...
You take him out.
Or the baby makes a noise, then you leave.
So it's about being disruptive.
Then I think that's fine. But I think the disruptiveness, like, nobody can enjoy it if there's a screaming baby.
It's like if a person starts screaming, you wouldn't...
That's true. What if they're asleep?
I kind of think if the baby's asleep, fine. But, like, it's really hard to trust the person to be responsible. And if they bought a ticket, then you're like, you feel bad that they're going to have to. But, like, if the baby cries or makes a disturbance, then they have to leave. Like, with any audience member.
Yeah.
Like, last night, some people, like, just started kicking off and then they had to leave because they were being disruptive.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't blame the baby, but... It ruins it for everyone, you know? Yeah, and it's too distracting as a performer. Like, you can't
focus. I was
going to
say, do you think you'd be distracted because it's just like, oh, they could cry at any moment? Or is it, I'm talking about dicks and
if it's a baby,
whatever.
They don't know what's happening.
No, they don't.
I guess with Screaming with Laughter, you're talking about dicks.
Well,
and stuff,
it's a good job. There is clubs like Screaming with Laughter.
tell us more about that.
Which there wasn't, but it's coming back 24th of May at the Bedford and Baddon is our comeback. Of course, that's why we say the baby's not to be any older than 13, 14 months because... So you can talk about whatever you like. Mm. And obviously our thing is, if the baby starts crying, you don't have to leave the room.
You can feed or whatever.
Feed, bob them up and down.
Everybody knows what's happening there.
So there's expectations.
But as we know, babies do set off other babies. So sometimes I do... It's only probably happened twice in the whole 6-7 years where there's been people I'm like, yeah, I think you really do need to take them out now.
Like proper out of breath screamers.
And poor act is just like, whoa, even some of our acts that have never done before come off feeling a bit dizzy almost because it's like they're trying to pat your head and rub your tummy. If you've not done it before, you feel like... When you did it, was that the first... No, that wasn't the first time.
I've maybe done it twice, but I do find it really hard. I think that I'm not very good with, like, other noises or other things going on, and I can't focus. And so for me, it's just like, there's a baby crying, and then it's very hard to, like, just be, like, silly and fun.
Yeah.
And so I'm not the best act for it, I think.
What you said about tuning into crying. Maybe I should get my apps, those loop earplug things, and they can just be like, ba, 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 and then I can't hear them. But more than often,
I'd like that. When all there's the time, no babies anyway. In the room.
Yeah.
Just being out and about.
More than often, they are generally, if you're listening, you want to come, they don't cry, you know. They're quite happy, all the lights, and blah, blah, blah. Get a few cry. But yeah, well, what was the general consensus at your theatre then, Gemma, for the baby?
It was really divided because I was a bit like, you know, obviously with the disruptive thing, you know, if they become disruptive, like, so sit them near the door. Yeah. If they become disruptive, then, but for me, it's just like that could be, get out your violins. That could be a single mum who has been looking forward to seeing this artist for ages and they have no childcare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for example, and you sort of think, oh God, you know, but.
Yes.
So that's where I came from.
But I would say I wouldn't be able to relax and enjoy something if my baby was crying. And so if the baby is crying, then you leave. But it's so unfortunate, if you spend that money and you're single mom and you want to watch it,
So if you're doing a show, Harriet, and someone walked in with a baby, would it make you go, oh, God, a little bit?
Yeah, because you don't know about the person. Like, most people would be very responsible. It's like a wedding or a funeral or whatever. Like, if a baby cries, like, I personally think you take the baby out.
Funeral.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think you take them out because otherwise it's, like, too... For me, like, I have dyspraxia. It's hard for me to focus, like, if that's happening. And so that's what I'd do. And that's what I would want my audience to do. But
would you say something? I'd be sort of tempted. When I was doing the worry draw, if someone came in with a baby, I think I'd try and say, like, just say, it's all cool, but if they do start crying, are you all right to take them out? Because there's some sensitive bits in the show and it's going to ruin the flow.
Well, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be funny or have an atmosphere.
That sounds
absolutely
fine.
That's all right. Yeah. Or I'll get someone else to say it, I guess. Yeah, not me. Because then they're hating me from the beginning.
Yeah. But
it is difficult. Top Secret has like a glass partition thing. I wonder if like something like that would be a good way of doing it.
Where?
Downstairs now they've set it up, and so people at the bar can watch the comedy. But I think it's not completely soundproof. I think, but like something like that. I mean, I guess you wouldn't still be kind of involved, but you can hear what's happening. Oh, but I guess you can hear what's happening on stage, then they can hear. So maybe it's just, it doesn't make a difference, I don't know.
No.
Wait, I haven't really thought about that.
Right, yeah. So I don't know what the answer then is. I think I'm a bit torn. But there are so many plays and shows now that do
relaxed
performances
yeah.
and stuff like that. But
I want the opposite of relaxed performance. Whatever the opposite of relaxed
performance. Highly strong, very stressed.
Very strict. Complete silence.
Yeah, complete silence. Gosh. But, I mean, you couldn't take a baby to something like Kim Noble's show at Soho. Could you imagine that? Like,
I mean, if you are doing that, then I would question whether...
Your sanity. Is there anything you'd like to promote that's coming up? Are you doing... Oh, quickly. I didn't watch Mastermind.
I haven't watched it yet.
Don't say anything. Don't say anything. I don't know what your specialist subject was, but I got. What did I do with it? Here, have I got it? So, and I was like, I just saw the list of subjects. And I was like, where is it? Okay, so was her specialist subject, Gemma?
Yeah, come on. Okay.
Was it James Bond themes, sloths, Sir David Attenborough, and Hattie McDaniel? Which was Harriet's specialist subject?
It's got to be sloths.
Was it sloths?
Sloths.
I mean, how many questions did they get out of that?
Wow.
It was absolute chaos. I studied for it so hard, okay? I've never worked harder for something in my life. And then I got there and it was like because I was like, every time I go on these shows, I look so stupid. And I was like, I feel like, and Helen Bauer, I did a show with her and she was like, you're letting women down everywhere. And I was like, I can't do anything about general knowledge. It's too late for that. I can only work on my specialist subject. So I just studied it. And then I got there and it was like so intimidating and it's really cold and there's like all these lights and it's so serious. And I was like losing my mind. And I was like, okay, Harriet, you have to come and sit on the chair. And I was like, okay, and you had to come. You had to say your name, your subject and your charity. So I was doing Choose Love. And so I was like, right. So I sat down. They're like, what's your name? I was like, Harriet Kemsey. They're like, what's your job? I was like, comedian. They're like, what's your charity? And I said, Sloth. No, you got it wrong. You got to start again. And then I was like, oh my God, this is the start of it. And then it was all downhill from there.
How did you come up with the subject?
Yeah. Oh God, I loved Sloth. So I really like that they're magical. And me and Bobby saw some in Costa Rica and I cried because they were just like so amazing. And then I studied it and like, everything I loved about them wasn't true. it turns out like they're actually quite vicious.
Their claws look vicious.
Yeah. And to be fair, it was quite random. Like because I wanted to do The American Office and then Rhys James did it. And so I couldn't do it. And then they were like, just send a list of things you're kind of interested in. So I sent this random list of like Dolly Parton, sloths, like, and then they came back with sloths, and I was like, okay, let's go. And it like Latin names and like bugs.
Genus,
and, like,
what, yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And how? Where did you come? Who won? Oh, has it not been aired yet?
Don't ruin it. Yeah. No, it has aired. It has aired.
All right. I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it on the way home.
Oh, that's perfect. Makes everyone watch it.
I will say that. My new nemesis is Gary from EastEnders because he was also on Pointless with me. And
he feels like a bad
Gary,
luck charm.
Gary from EastEnders?
Do you remember Gary? Gary and Minty.
Gary who was married to Lynn.
Yes. Isn't that in Call the Midwife?
Is he?
No, I'm thinking of the wrong one.
I mean, you've got a higher profile than him.
But not Brain.
That's that's not who I'm thinking of then. I don't... Oh... Yeah, I can't think who he is. Google him, everybody.
He's funny and he's a really nice guy, but yeah, he's my new nemesis. And
oh no, so like if you're doing a quiz show and he's there, you're like, no!
yeah.
Just imagine him in the booking room. Right, so we've got Gary from EastEnders. Who comes with? Who sits well along that sort
alphabet
of
thing?
yeah, that's what it is.
Right, so... you're working on a new show, aren't you? On a stand-up show?
So I just filmed my first ever like special. Oh. So hopefully it's going to come out soon. So on my Instagram or whatever, at Harriet Kemsley.
Who's it going? Where's
so
next
I did it with 800-pound gorilla. And then, they'll look to sell it. And if not, it'll be on like YouTube or something. So,
it'll be on Prime or something, won't it?
YouTube is great.
That's true. YouTube is
some of the top specials like last year were from YouTube. Right?
Yeah, so I hear we've got this podcast. I've put it on there, and I didn't put it on there last month, and I sort of forget. I've got to get into the routine because
is it being filmed?
Because no, we're not being filmed. Oh. Wait, she looked
like, that is would it be behind those trees.
Be so weird. Yeah. Which I'm not comfortable being filmed. It's like,
they are working on the cameras in this studio, but. No, you can just put on...
It's the audio.
The second most listened to for podcasts is YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I'm just put it up there and I'll put a nice picture of a sloth or something.
Yeah, nice.
Anything you want to brag about? Or
not
someone
really.
Else? No?
I feel stressed talking about this cry it out thing because I didn't want to do it. But it did... It did work, is the thing. I just can't stop thinking about it now. You said it, and then when you said about them crying, but
what you're doing that thing of feeling guilty now,
yeah,
worrying people will listen, and
yeah,
go, oh,
and then go, she's a terrible mum. But it was that she was just waking up every hour, and then it did work. But I was always like, no, never, and then it did work.
It's just whatever works.
Yeah, this is non-judgmental.
Yeah,
place.
If it had been more than 3 days and she was just crying, then I wouldn't have done it.
I think a little bit. We did a little bit. Bit of it, but like we would because we was doing Gina Ford, and because I quite liked a lot of her thinking, but I didn't take all of it on. But we literally would go, oh, he's crying. We'd go in, do the thing of like rubbing their
back in every few minutes, yeah, and do that.
And it
yeah,
it was like hard work, but it did eventually work.
Yeah,
and I can't see what else works. Like honestly,
so I had still had a 5-year-old in my bed. Do you know? So that is the alternative.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have a kid that won't go to sleep.
But then saying that, I never did any co-sleeping and they started sleeping in my bed at 5. So I'm good.
But what do you do when you're like out at night when he needs to go to bed? He'll go to bed and then you'll join or that's what you do.
Like if someone was looking after him, she means.
Yeah. So he'd
He'd know you'd be coming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
He'd be there with his wallet.
In the middle of the bed. And then wonder why my marriage didn't work out.
Oh God, that's another topic for next time. Your marriage and all that, all right?
Is it right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know.
You want to tell us about your personal...
We'll need a longer podcast.
We'll do that for part two. It's a strain on the relationship, kids are. But make sure you have your date nights and all that, or date days. And with me and Alex have just worked out, we're not going to see each other. He's out nearly every night, or I am, until sort of Sunday or something. I was like, right, I must make sure we're booking a breakfast together or a lunch together.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't, because what ends up happening, and he goes, oh, I'm really busy, I've got to finish this thing. Coming up to... But, you know, got to try. Okay, Harriet, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Gemma, as always. And thank you to you for listening. And do tell more people. The more people that listen to this and subscribe, the more people listen, it goes up. And it goes up somewhere. And then we're on this thing now where, like, the more people that listen, we'll start getting some bloody revenue, and then I can pay Harriet's babysitting. Ooh, when she comes.
Just to be serious, but that's the dream. You want to be
that
able
is
to,
our dream,
to,
yeah.
to pay yeah. for the childcare of our guests.
Aww. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.